Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel of John. These verses particularly, starting at verse 14, or 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher, if I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Dear friends in Christ, my wife, one of her favorite activities is, and I know there's probably a difference between these, I don't know which one it is, but counted cross stitch or needlepoint. I don't know, since I'm talking to a lot of guys, particularly if you know what I'm talking about, but cross stitching. And cross stitching is done with some seriously intricate needlework that recreates, at least the ones my wife does, recreates detailed outdoor scenes or other art pictures with a needle and thread. And you're probably not surprised to know that I've never done a needlepoint like that, but I've watched how it's done. And it is important that you have and use a pattern or an outline that someone has to design, and then someone has to code it, and the artist who's doing the work has to see which colored threads go where, and follow it very carefully, stitch by stitch. It's really time-consuming, laborious. It's a strain on the eyes, but as the work develops, there's a growing sense of excitement as the picture comes alive, a growing sense of anticipation for the complete work, and finally it's framed, ready to be hung on the wall as an object of beauty and a symbol of love to be admired and remembered. And I thought about that counted cross stitch and those patterns when reading Jesus in verse 15, talking about his examples or his followers. He says he gave his followers an example to follow, which could also be translated a pattern to follow, or pattern to copy. The word he uses in the ancient world is a picture showing how something was done, a tracing or a map that somebody else would need to follow, and it would lead somewhere, but you had to fill in the details yourself. And that pattern gives us a difficult task. It gives his followers a difficult task, requiring a strain not only on the eyes and hard work, but also on the nerves, on the will, on the heart, on the energy to follow this pattern that Jesus has given. And we shouldn't be surprised how many of us fail to get it right. And I've seen my wife take a lot of stitches out and redo it too, and even more so following Jesus' pattern. Jesus, having washed his disciples' feet, declares that he has established a pattern for them and for us to follow. And why is this so hard? Why does he have to go on in the verses following to insist that the slave is not greater than the master, the person who is sent is not greater than the person who sent him? It's because we are proud. And you, ladies and gentlemen, as future servant leaders in Christ's church, will struggle against this pride. As a pastor, I have been part of a ceremony where the congregation leader said, "This is what we do this time every year. We get together and the pastor washes feet. And you're the pastor, so you get to wash feet." And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, all right? But because it's obviously, it's a deeply intimate and moving thing to do. There's a lot of symbolism there, and certainly there's the symbolism of the text here. But consider, and this is what was crossing my mind in this process. When Jesus did this, Jesus was doing it because it is what a slave would do. And you could say that maybe nobody else wanted to do it. Everybody thought they were above it. We don't really know for sure because that detail's not given. But Jesus did it because it's what normally a slave would do it. But when we do it, let me just say in the ceremony that I was involved in, when I did it, I was doing it because Jesus did it, which in one sense makes sense because it's a pattern to follow. But what I saw and experienced as the leader of a congregation copying Jesus, doing this in this strange kind of way that I still wrestle with to this day, was that I found that my own authority and status was enhanced by doing this. Like, I was really a great servant leader and pastor because I washed these people's feet. And I don't think that was what was intended, but there it is. And so there's something there. But to be honest, the act of washing feet is not really what we're talking about, is it? That's not what the point was, right? The critical thing that I found, and I think it applies to all leaders, is whether that same leader is prepared to get up in the middle of the night and go sit beside the bed of an old, frail, frightened man who is dying all alone, and he needs the hope of the gospel, and you are there to speak it, and you're not sleeping because you're there to speak that hope. The test that matters is whether that same leader is ready, without a word of either complaint or of boasting, to stay behind after the meeting and clean up or take out the trash. Of course, it's important that everybody in your congregation do that, and I hope that you foster that sort of environment in the congregations that you go to, but the truly Christ-like leader is known by the spontaneity with which he or she does the little annoying, messy things, the things which in the ancient world the slave would do, the things which in our world we secretly hope we don't have to do, the small jobs, and the things that present themselves. We need to learn this again and again because we're so easily tempted to proclaim Jesus as Lord when what we mean is that we, his servants, are rulers of this or that small piece of turf in his kingdom, and we can easily create little spheres of influence and of power and enjoy exercising our power in those. And we talk about the kingdom of God, but we have the hope that some of that kingly glory will rub off on us. That is the human experience. And we draw attention to the promises about God's people in Christ being kings and priests in order that we can lord it over others if we just let ourselves go unchecked, and we quietly forget about the servant part, the annoying small jobs, the things which Jesus would have done. And of course, there are endless possibilities for this to go off the rails as well. We can so easily use the doing of menial tasks themselves as a way of avoiding doing real and important and demanding things that we as pastors or those in church leadership are the only ones who can fulfill. We can even use these menial tasks as a way of showing how humble we are so that we can be proud of being humble. The point is that for us, as for Jesus, and what Jesus was saying to his followers is we should be looking away from ourselves. We should be looking at the world which we are called to serve and which we're supposed to be serving. Where the world's needs and our callings meet, that's where we ought to be, focused outward, ready to take on insignificant roles if that's what God wants, or to be publicly visible if that's our calling, to do something that is quite glorious if that's where the Lord is calling us, or to do stuff behind the scenes. The point is, and as with Jesus, the picture of foot washing is meant to serve not only as a picture of all sorts of the menial tasks that we may be asked to perform without drawing attention to them, it also points us towards a much larger challenge that we take up as well, the challenge that Jesus issued to Peter in the last chapter of John, the challenge to follow Jesus all the way to the cross, to lay down life itself in the service of God and the world he came to save, if that's what we're called to do. A servant is not greater than his master, nor the one who is sent than the one who sent him. The pattern that Jesus shows is that the servant of God takes up whatever task is called for, great or small. That is the task that lies before you folks as well, to take up those tasks without complaint or pride, because we follow Jesus, who washed not only our feet, not our hands and our head, but our whole bodies in holy baptism. And he feeds us in the Lord's Supper and with the Word of God, that we may point the world to Jesus, their greatest need and the greatest gift that we can give them. And relying on God's gifts, may our lives point to him in a way maybe similar to those needle points that are objects of beauty and show the love of love incarnate, Jesus himself. For I have given you an example or a pattern that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, from my own experience, verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them, and I hope you get to do them. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.